your hearts to receive just what you have just for them, Lord God. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises, Lord God, none of me but all of you, that I would be able to just be a vessel used for you. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Last week, I was away, but I did see the message. It was such a blessing. And it was funny, Pastor was started to preach, and I'm like, oh, man, he's going to be talking about what I'm going to be talking about next week. You know how the Holy Spirit does, right? So, and I listened to it. You mean, that was one message that I had to listen to again, because it was so important that to know who we are. You know, sometimes we beat ourselves up. And that message, just to hear that, you know, God judges us, and we should also judge ourselves. The Lord that brings freedom. And with that, you know, I thought about that, and I meditated on it. I've been meditating on that for a while, for a couple of months now. You all know our situation. And I've just been so alone with God. And, you know, the last time I was here, I told you how God's been walking me through the Word, and how I've been growing and finding out who I am. Amen. Amen. And God, so we're hearing that message last week was just such a blessing. And it was that I listened to it, I meditated on it, because God's word, we can hear it and hear it, but unless God tells us to meditate on his word, that it won't become rhema to you. We hear it, but it doesn't come rhema until you decide to let it get in here. So that's some things that I've been doing and trusting and believing God, as I said before, and I'm continually doing that, because at this point in my life, I want God to be able to use me. And I went away last week, and I was looking at every place I would go. And lately, I've been just noticing people. And there's so many people out there that we sit in here that we don't know that needs to hear the good news of the gospel. But we can't do that until we know who we are. You can't go out and do it unless you know that who you are in Christ Jesus. So my title for the day is, Do I Know? I'm making it personal today. This message is just for me. Amen? Do I know who I am? Amen? And that was the first thing that God had to show me. Even when I was going through this journey between the, you know, pastor and myself, is that, Lord, how do I need to know who I am, and what do I do for you, and how do I do it? So the first thing I had to get was like, okay, what does the word say that I am? Okay, and that we have to know. You have to know who you are and what you can do. You know, situations happen, and people you're around. And they see you in one way. And sometimes we can't get the heart that, you know, we listen to the people and the thing, you know, people that are around us, and we listen to, instead of seeking God first. You know, we'll take that word and, okay, they said this. And maybe you're meditating and the thought comes. And then you got to, okay, so it could be a negative thought, a positive thought. Then we got to know what to do with those thoughts. All right, if it's a positive thought, okay, but a negative thought, you got to know what the word says about you. So for a while, I was like, oh my God, I just can't get this right. And you know what God says? No, you can't, but I can. In him, I can do all things, amen? So I decided that, you know, in that journey, I said, you know, I'm going to learn who I am. And how do I learn who I am? It's the word, the manual that I call, I'm saying manual, if y'all don't know. The manual I call is my Bible, because, you know, we have manuals for everything, for your TV, for your, you know, any appliances that you have. You have a manual. Well, God has sent us a manual, and it's the word of God, that we can go to and know exactly where we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to do it. God was so good that even he sent Jesus, he came in the flesh, that we can see the example that what he did on the cross, why he was here for the 30 years, that we can do everything that we face, he did. But he didn't, he's dependent on the Father for everything. We sometimes depend on people, which is not good. We keep our, take our eyes off of God and we look at people and we determine what people say about us, and then we say, okay, this is what we are because of what man said. You know, I'm reading the Bible and I'm looking at Jesus. He came to earth, but you know what he did? He did the things that God told him to do, and he did the miracles that he was supposed to do, but he always went to the Father. He returned back to his first love every time. He went and fed the people, they fed the thousands, and you know, and all of this, he changed water to wine, but he never, never kept his eyes off the Father. And I'm talking about myself, and it was times in my life that I took my eyes off the Father, which is not good. And he'll bring you back. Amen? Because we're always supposed to stay with our first love. Amen. I remember when I first heard, I said, first love? And, you know, coming, you know, being a new Christian, I don't know what the first love is. The first love to me is the first person that you loved, and then, you know, and I used to, first love, that used to puzzle me so much. But then I had to learn, the first, he loved us when we was in our mother's womb. That's our first love. Amen? So I'm going to give y'all some things that I had to stand on to know who I am. So I'm just going to go through some scriptures, and you can write them down if you want to. But I'm going to go over them anyway. The first one I'm going to go over is John 1:12. It said, no, to know who I am. And it says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave us the right to become children of God. First, I had to say to myself, I am a child of God. Amen. We are children of God. He loves us. Amen. Amen. The next one is Psalms 139, 13 and 14. For you formed my innermost parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks and praise to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. I want to look at one word in that scripture. It says knows. He knows. This is God saying he knows us very well. That word know to me meaning that not just I just know you. It's an intimate, a yada that we learned a long time ago, as Pastor preached, that he knows us. Amen? And we should know ourselves like that also, because if somebody come to ask you, what's your name, you don't have to hesitate 1 minute to say your name. But the things that God has given us and the promises that he has given to us, we should know them too, just like that. Amen? Amen. Another one I'm going to go to is John 15:15. I am a friend of God. We sing that song all the time. I am a friend of God. You're not too much singing, but I am a friend of God. Yes, he no longer calls us servant, but he calls us friends, it says. It says, I no longer call you servant, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friend. For everything that I learned from the Father, I have made known unto you. Amen? The next thing I had to know, that I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. It says that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are gone and everything has become new. Again, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it goes on and on. Then, after you learn who you are and you get comfortable about who you are, the next thing you need to know is what God says about you. Okay? You need to know what God said about you. God, who am I? What have you made me here for? What is my purpose in life? And we need to know that. Because, oh my God, it's getting dry. Because his love is everlasting. It's always yea and amen. Never he turns us down. Look, I mean, let me tell you, I can look for man, but God would never fail us. Amen. He's always there. We can always trust him. We can always trust his word. We can always believe in him. When we take our eyes off of him, that becomes the problem. Amen. You know, he uses us. He used me. He's no longer here. Jesus went and sat with the Father. We're here to be disciples. Sometimes we can get in the way of God, though. Because God uses man, and I'm going to say this. God uses man. I'm going to just do a little side journey for a minute. He uses all of us. And he uses people to come into our life. But sometimes we make the mistake and make the people God. We look at the people, they do this for me, they do that for me, they do this for me. They become God now. You took your eye off the maker. As I say, it's the mailman. I know pastors used to say, I'm just only the mailman. But sometimes we get too attached to the mailman, and then we don't look at the focus and know God sent the mailman for you. You decided that you want to now look at the mailman. Amen. So I've been guilty of that. Definitely been guilty of that where I have not, again, like I said, lost my first love, where I took my eyes off of God and looked at the person. Even a guy, my husband supplied everything to me. And again, I could say sometimes I thought to look at him instead of God, which I'm now taking my eyes off of God, which my eyes should always be on God. Amen? Amen. He's a God that loves you. He says in James 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we look at that and I look at that too and like, okay, God does not want not one person to perish. But again, he uses us to be the mouthpiece for him. Again, we got to know the word. We got to know who we are. We got to know that God loves us. Then you got to make a decision. What am I going to do to make a difference? If you keep your eye on God, he will supply. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right standing with him. And all these things that we sometimes are looking for will be added into. He will give it to us if we're just doing what he's asking us to do. Amen. And that is that we have a world out there that needs to hear the good news of the gospel. The church sometimes are getting lazy, and I can say it for myself, that we do not minister to outside people. I was sitting with a fellow yesterday in the back with the one of the volunteers. He's very knowledgeable of the word. He knows his word, but you know, he's has his own religion, kind of similar to ours, but he came in, he looked at the panel here, this, and he said, Joshua and Caleb, what is that about, and how did you come up with that? So I sat down and I told him how did they become Joshua and Caleb. He said, well, in the Bible, who is Joshua and Caleb? Okay, now you got to read your Bible. You got to know that. I didn't go look at my Bible and say, let me find out now who is Joshua and Caleb so I can tell the man the answer. No, we told him they were two of the spies. Okay. Then he started asking me more things about it. I don't know if he talked to Esther first, but then he started talking to me. Because then Esther says, because me and Esther were both sitting together, so he started asking us, this is the first lady. So you asshole. But we got to know the word. Amen? Yeah. Then we got to take the word outside of the walls here. That somebody would know the good news of the gospel. God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then. It's a then. That means something we have to do before. Then. He could heal the land. Amen. But we have to do the first part. Okay. We all praying that, you know, things are happening in the world and we want to change, but a change, but a change. Listen, we are the ones to make the change. It would be worse than it was if it wasn't Christians in the world. But we can still make a change. Amen? Yes. God is also a God that forgives. I had to look that up. God will forgive me. I had no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and that was something that I had to actually get before God and say, God, you forgive. And first I had to forgive myself, though. I have to forgive myself, and I said, God, you are a God that forgives. Let me meditate on that word also. He said, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll clean you up. He'll make it new. You got to just trust him. That's where your faith comes in. Every good and perfect work comes from the Father of heaven, the light who does not change. Amen? He will give you everything. Let me tell you, if you just want to know what goodness of God is, let me tell you the first place you can look. Psalms 23. Let's go to Psalms 23. Let me go to him. Because just looking at just Psalms 33, you can see the goodness of God. The one we learned when we was kids. That was the thing. My grandmother had us learning that right away. I didn't know what it mean, but we still said it. You know what I mean? All right. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. He's the one that protects us. He's a protector that we can learn. I shall not want. We don't want to have anything. He leads me in the green pasture. He leads me beside the quiet water. Now, I live in the Poconos, and I know y'all live in the city, but sometimes I can go out in my backyard and just lay on my hammock and look at the birds and look at the trees and look at the grass. And I don't know water, but I can turn my water on. But, you know, it's just, we can go anywhere. And sometimes it's funny, I could be going, like I go to Pathmark, I mean, I go to Walmart. And it's just this nice stream. It's a bridge. And they have the rocks there, and the water is coming down. And it's like coming hard. And I look at it, and I stare at it. And sometimes you could just see, like, designs in the water. And it's so pretty. Sometimes if you just want to go to the park, just go to the park and you just look at what God has done. Amen? Amen. And you see his goodness right here. Okay, I'm almost done. He leads me beside the quiet water. He refreshes and restores my soul. Life, anything that we're going through, he'll restore it. He'll give you a new, he'll make it refreshed for you. Amen? Amen. When we trust in him. He leads me to the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He's even saying there, I will be with you. You don't even have to be fearful or faith. You know, fear. Trust me in this. I have you. Like that word, I mean, I kept that word that Mike got, God got me. And I just say it all the time, and it's just a blessing. Amen? But you can see, if you go through the Bible, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Y'all know Psalms 33. But if you go through the Bible to see how much God loves you, and then you take that same love and love somebody else. You know, even when, you know, the things that we're going through and the progress, you got to be able to forgive people. You got to be able to say, you know what? Let me not look at me. Sometimes we say me too many times. We go, you know, what happened to me? They did this to me. You know, why did they do this to me? I don't deserve this. But, you know, I was looking the other day, and I was thinking about that. And I was like, you know what, God? We can think about me. But some of the things that we have that other people don't have, that we should say, you know what, God? I'm looking at me, but I'm so thankful for what you have done in my life that I don't want to look at me. I want to look at them and pray for them and that they have what I have. Amen? Yes, because sometimes we get too focused on us. And like, okay, God, it's a world out there that needs to hear the good news of the gospel. It's a world that needs to use, God needs to use your mouthpiece. Yes. Because sometimes Jesus, the only one that they can see is you. We're supposed to be an example. We're supposed to be imitators of him. We need to go out and do that. Amen? So I'm charging y'all today. Think about it. Let's walk in love. Let's start at the church. Let's start right here. You think about your brother and sister, you stop and you pray for them. Amen? Amen. If they got on your nerves or whatever, still pray for them. Amen? Because that's the only thing that changed anybody anyway is prayer. You get on your knees and you pray and you lift up your hands and you say, in the name of Jesus, whatever I see, I'm believing God that it will turn around. Amen? You speak blessings over them. Amen? Amen. I'm almost done. But we did a tag team, so Jeff will be following me today. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you that your word is always powerful and that we can always trust in you. Lean on you, Father. And I ask, Father, that as we are members of one body, that we go out and be that example, that imitator of you, that love that we show to each other. Because we can love ourselves first, but then we can go out and love someone else. And I thank you and I praise you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Jeff.
Amen.
Kind of, sort of? Yeah, you can. Okay. Don't mind me, I can make a mess. Amen. It's funny. So me and Ange took different buses, but we arrived at the same destination. And that's how great our Father works. We were sitting here yesterday doing pantry, and me and Andrew's talking. She said, yeah, I'm going to do the message tomorrow. Do you want to tag team with me? And I was like, yeah, Brown on Brown production, all right. And I was like, well, Andrew, I don't really have nothing, but yeah, I was like, okay. So after we finished pantry, I went upstairs. And I sat down and I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to just watch some TV and then, you know, maybe early in the morning I'll come up with something. I sat down, I started watching TV. I took out my phone like I do sometimes and I started texting my other number, right? And I just came up, boom, 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 boom. 15, 20 minutes later, I was finished. I was like, okay, I got my message for tomorrow. And it's just wonderful how our Father works. Now, everything Angela says, it comes right back to our theme for the year. Prosperity through obedience. She was talking about her obedience. And the title of my message is Prosperity plus Obedience equals Love. And I'm going to start with prosperity plus obedience equals love. And I looked at it a little bit like this, like to try to dumb it down a little bit, right? Because a lot of times I get up here and I feel like I'm a narrator. Because when I speak, I kind of, I guess that's that little bit of writer in me. I kind of work it like a story. So I said, okay, so let's look at prosperity and obedience. Let's say if they were foods, right? Everybody would love prosperity. It tastes great. We just want to keep eating prosperity. Can I get some more of that? But then when it comes to the obedience part, let's be honest, that don't go down that smoothly. It's almost like when you try to give a child medicine and they don't want it because it doesn't taste good, even though it's good for them. We're not thrilled with that concept of obedience. It's good for us, but we're not thrilled with it. And you know why? Because it might require us to do something. To change. To do something different. To be something different. To see things other than ourselves. And it's hard because a lot of times we say, you know what? I'm good with myself right now. I'm here doing this, that, and the other. And I don't want to change. That's how that obedience gets to be a hard pill. Yeah. And if we be honest, right? Myself included. Majority of us, we do have a selfish side. Which blocks us from being obedient. And we kick in with our own stuff like, how come I have to? You hear God talking to you, but come on, God, do I really have to? Okay, do I really have to treat this person a certain way? Do I really have to do this certain thing? Do I really have to learn when to shut my mouth? See, like for me a little bit, right? I'm going to tell myself a little bit. I kind of skirted around obedience, right? I'm doing the majority of the things. I'm doing the big things, the good things. But it was this one thing about me supposing to write, right? And I skirted around it for years. And I kept skirting around it. I'm like, okay, so you know what? Does anybody really need me to write anything? I don't really need to do that. For what? What purpose do it serve? Then I say, okay, you know what? So I'm going to write this stuff, and what if I don't make no money? Then I just waste my time writing. And God said, Pastor wrote a book, right? I'm like, dang, you always got to get me with my brother. Dang. Like, why? Dang. So he wrote a book. Did he really make money off that book? Said no. Did it bless people? Yes. So I decided, I said, you know what? Daddy's not going to let me do this dance no more. So in front of the house, I already told Brother Merle, me and Brother Merle was talking, I'm going to write my poetry book. I'm starting on it now. I went downstairs last week I pulled all my poetry out the bin that was in the basement. It's books and books and books and books. All right, so I'm going to go through them. I'm going to organize. I'm probably going to do 4 sections. I'm going to do no more than 30, 40 poems in a book. Okay, it's going to be some inspirational. It's going to be some of everything. But I'm going to section them off. And what I said, I'm going to write the book. After I finish getting my rough drafts and everything together, I'm going to go to my brother because he did publish a book. So, you know, I'm going to pay to get it published, and I'm going to give it out. And I'm going to give it out strategically. I'm not charging. I'm going to give it out because I don't know what's in there that's going to bless somebody. You might read it. Something in there might not bless you, but you might pass it. And that's going to be my only stipulation. After you read it, pass it on. Because what might not bless you might bless someone else. And it doesn't even have to be anything spiritual. It could be basic, something about emotion, something about anything, but it touches you where you at that moment. So now it's on tape too, so I really can't do the dance no more. And Lindsay came straight out and said, when? So yeah, so I'm setting it up. I'm going to do it. Yes. Yep. Now getting back to that prosperity thing. That was my little excuse with the book. The prosperity thing. We usually measure prosperity in the acquisition of stuff. Be it property or money or clothes or how the bro say it in the hood, y'all? Money causing, you know. When it comes to that obedience part, what do we say? What's in it for me? Not how could I bless? How could I be helpful? What's in it for me? I'm doing this because of what? Okay, so I'm going to look at it like this. Prosperity is like a diamond. Without a setting. You need the proper way to display it to appreciate its true beauty. Right? You can't walk around with this gorgeous diamond inside your pocket or clothes in your hand, right? Because no one will ever see it. No one will get to enjoy it. You won't even get to enjoy it because it's in your pocket. In obedience, that's the encasement. For prosperity, it covers it. Is a mean of preservation. It ensures the continual existence and growth. We know that prosperity is linked to obedience, right? Which, without a doubt, is linked to what? Just keep my commandments. Right? And what is the first and greatest commandment? Love your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Right? And the second one is to love others. Right? As yourself. Which is tricky. Because sometimes you don't love yourself. Yep. That's right. That's the tricky one. So you have to love others as God has shown you to love. Because it wouldn't be as yourself, as God has shown you to love. As God is loving you. to me, what is love? It's the ultimate sign of obedience. And if you do that, you will forever prosper. With that, Jay Brown out. Father God, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to share with my family, to do it with my sister Angela. It's always a pleasure to get up here and just relay your messages, relay the stuff that you give me, to pass it on to my brothers and sisters so that they can in turn pass it on to someone. I mean, I realize, Father, that I'm not a deep speaker. I'm really not a willing speaker, but I'm an obedient speaker. I thank you for all the gifts, all the tools that you put in all of our tool belts, so that we are able to go out every day and do your will. That we're able to go out every day and prosper by giving your love to the world. We honor you today and every day. We thank you, Lord, continually. In Jesus' mighty name, and the house says.